The very first words that I ever spoke from this stage about 7.5 years ago. Anyone know what they were? See, this is the problem with preaching. You forget everything I say. Now, the first words. I probably said good morning. Yeah, that's probably true. The first words I said is, why are you here? Why are you here? Now, you can answer that a lot of different ways. You can even ask the question a lot of different ways. What do you mean by why are you here? I mean, if we're really honest, there's probably a lot of spiritual reasons why we're here, maybe some social reasons, maybe some convenience reasons, maybe some religious reasons why you're here today, whether you're here online or you're here in the sanctuary. Like, why are you here? Sometimes the answer to the question is really obvious, and sometimes maybe there's multiple reasons, multiple answers to the question. Why are you here? Why are you on this planet? Why are you? Today is Great Commission Day, and I want to be crystal clear about what the Great Commission is and how you can participate in God's mission on planet Earth. Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for the words that Tom just read. These words that you spoke, Jesus, so many years ago. It is the Great Commission. It is our mission. It is our calling. And I pray that as you've been so faithful to us, that we would be faithful to you in the calling that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Tom just read it. It's known as the Great Commission. It's one of the most famous passages in all the Bible. These are the last words of Jesus recorded by Matthew. Now, the other Gospels end in different ways, but it's very possible that these were the last words that Jesus ever spoke on earth before descending into heaven. And I think about last words. Now, not so much my last words today, although these are my last words for a few months. But I think about Jesus' last words and how important they must be. If you've ever, I don't know, some of you maybe have had this experience where you're beside someone and their final hours of life. What did they say if they were able to speak? What would you want to say to someone if you knew that these were your last words? You probably save the best for last. You save really important words. And Jesus' words in Matthew 28 are so important. Because I believe they are the calling, the mission that each of us, any follower of Jesus, is called into. Let me be really clear, too. This was not a message that he gave to a group of pastors. These are his followers, his disciples, his friends. And he said, this is what you are to do. So let's unpack this. It begins that Jesus... We lost our... notes here. There we go. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is so important. We can't just dive into the mission without understanding that Jesus has all authority, heaven and earth. He has it all, and he's given it to us. He's passed the baton to us. He said to his disciples, you've seen me for 3 years. You've seen how I act, how I live. I've been preparing you. I've been showing you how to live, what it means to be human. And now I want you to take what I've invested in you, and I want you to invest it into others. Jesus had the authority to do that. Authority and responsibility go together. If you've ever been given responsibility to do something without the authority to do it, you've surely been frustrated. If you have authority but no responsibility, there's nothing to do. Jesus has all authority, and he prepares to exit the earth. He's essentially passing the baton and saying to his friends, this is your mission, and here it is. Therefore, now we know what the therefore is there for. He has all authority, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. This word disciple is confusing to some people. It's not a word we normally use in everyday life. A disciple is a follower, an imitator, a student, an apprentice. Sometimes this phrase is talked about in the world of football, and they'll say, this coach was a disciple of this coach. He learned from the master. He coaches like the master. He's been groomed and prepared to maybe even replace this legendary coach. A disciple is someone, not merely a student that absorbs information, but someone that's preparing to take the place of another, someone that wants to follow and imitate. Children are great at this, little kids especially. Parents, you know what I'm talking about. You look at your kid and it's like, where'd you learn how to do that? You look in the mirror. Oh, they've been imitating me. They've been following me. Now, I must admit, I love church planting. I'm an entrepreneur, and it's a joy for me to participate, to coach some church planters, to encourage them as they launch new ministries. I love the idea of forming new communities of faith to reach the unchurched. Helping launch Visible Church and lead Community Church last year was not only one of the highlights of 2022, but two of the highlights probably of this whole decade. But Jesus never said to plant churches. That was never his commission. He didn't say, I want you to gather together and plant churches. He said, I want you to make disciples. And the thing I've discovered about church planting and churches in general is if you start churches, new churches, and I love starting new churches, you might get disciples. You might not. You might get people that show up and attend services, but they're not truly sold out, committed to Jesus. They're not truly following him. But if your focus is on helping other people know and love Jesus, if their whole lives become consumed by Jesus, then eventually that faith is going to be contagious and more people are going to experience Jesus. And new churches are a natural byproduct. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be focusing on church planting. It's just saying that church planting usually leads to disciples. Disciple making always leads to new churches. Traditionally, church culture has said, come and see. Come to our Sunday services. Give money. Maybe help out in the nursery or as a greeter. The focus is on the stage, the professional, the event. And I'm really glad that all of you are here today. Thank you for coming. Thank you for being a part of this family. I love you deeply. But Sunday morning attendance does not make you a disciple. See, the Great Commission is not about come and see, come and observe, be a fan of Jesus. It's about go and be. Jesus said, go and make disciples. And disciples make disciples. It's about a lifestyle. It's not merely about a religious activity. It's about doing life in community. It's about doing life with God. And it's living a contagious lifestyle that others ask the reason for the hope that you have. Go and be. It's a 24/7, 365 lifestyle that we are all invited to experience. And as I often say, I believe it is the original alternative lifestyle because it's not like the world. The world says it's all about money, sex, and power. And following Jesus is about something so much greater, something so much higher, something far more satisfying. And I wish every person on earth could experience it. You were created to go and be a disciple, and go and make disciples. In our cultural context, people often think that a church needs a building, a professional pastor. I'm grateful for my paycheck, by the way. Thank you. I don't want to diss professional pastors. And lots of structure. Making disciples is something that any Jesus follower can do at work, at play, at school, in the neighborhood. The assembly of a church, the gathering, the structure that we have is vitally important, and it's all a manner to help you and to facilitate you and equip and empower you. But disciple-making is the mission. It's the co-mission of every follower of Jesus. And I think that includes you. It's not just a clergy thing. Recently, I was thrilled to hear about the story of someone in our church who was discipled by a couple other people in the church. And in hearing their story and their involvement, and it had very little to do with me, it had very little to do with our staff. These were just people who loved Jesus that were discipling someone else on their journey, and they continued to disciple them on the journey. It's so exciting to me when I see people engaging in relationships with people. Intentional, strategic, sometimes really messy, time-consuming, energy-draining relationships. But that's the call for all of us. That's what God is all about. All God cares about is relationships. That's it. All God cares about is relationships. We're called to launch presence, to be with people, to do life together. The primary tool that we have for this is life groups, clusters of people doing life together. But again, I want to say this is not simple. It's simple, actually. It's not easy because people are messy. In fact, Richard Bush says this, discipleship is slow, incremental, over time, with others, and for others. That's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? Discipleship is not just some little study, a little program we have at the church, and you fill in a bunch of blanks, and now I'm a disciple. No, true disciples are followers of Jesus who have devoted their lives to Christ and are seeking to contagiously reproduce that in other people. Because they've experienced the joy that we've sung about this morning. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord. And this world could use a little more joy, don't you think? Are you a follower of Jesus? Are you a disciple? Disciples go and make disciples. This is sort of the whole point here. Therefore, go. He says, we noted the verb go. Some have said the original Greek is like as you are going. So for some, it's go, like go to Africa or Germany or Dominican Republic. For others, it's go across the street. Go to the office tomorrow. Go to school. Go talk to your neighbor next door. Note it says of all nations, which we'll come back to in a moment. And then it says baptizing them. Baptizing is the next verb, ensuring that they obey Jesus and go public with their faith. And by the way, if you'd like to be baptized, fill out a connection card. We're not done with baptisms this year. Baptisms are just the greatest celebration, and we had a wonderful one here on Easter. And I know some of you want to get baptized. We're seeing new people come to Christ, particularly with our youth group, Alliance Youth. Family, the stories coming out of Alliance Youth are just absolutely fantastic, and you're going to get to hear more of them throughout this year. The final verse is teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Jesus doesn't just say teach, but he says teach to obey. Obedience is God's love language. If you want a good metaphor for discipleship, I kind of alluded to it earlier. It's this idea of family, and I think it's appropriate. We're on Mother's Day today. The role of a parent is to help a little person develop into a mature, productive, godly adult. It doesn't happen overnight. It requires time, energy, patience, and a whole lot of work. And all the moms said, amen. And all the dads also said, amen. Oh, yeah. That was nice. Making disciples is essentially spiritual parenting. Which leads me to two questions this morning. Who are you discipling, and do they know it? This is not just a question for our paid staff, though. This is a question I do ask our paid staff. It's for all of us. We're all called to help others to become more like Jesus. And that might be one-on-one, which is great. Go to Rust Belt Coffee. Go hang out. Invite someone to lunch. Develop a relationship, a friendship. Pastor Mike talked about this last week, how we have students in our church that desperately need people in their lives. They need mom and dad, and sometimes they don't have mom and dad. And even if they have mom and dad, they need other people. They need spiritual aunts and uncles, big brothers and sisters to come alongside them and help them on their journey. That's part of discipleship. It's helping a person on their journey. Studies show that the biggest factor for students that leave a youth group in high school and go off to college and come back, you've all heard that a huge number of students never come back after college. It's dreadfully high. But of those that do come back, of those that retain their faith in college, those that return to church after college, the studies I've read suggest, tell me if this is right, Mike, that the number one factor is other adults in their lives helping them, discipling them, being on their spiritual journey with them, not just mom and dad. Did I get that right? Okay. And Leah's giving me, so I got two Alliance workers here. Give me thumbs up. Our students need you. I can't say it strongly enough. I mean, Mike talked about it last week, but our students need you. Our young people need you. And you don't have to be cool. A lot of us aren't. You don't have to be trendy and speak the lingo and do they just want some love. They just want someone in their lives. I just heard this week, I was with a group of pastors in Toledo, and we were talking about how can we together serve the city and what does the city really need? And one of the ideas that was brought up, they said, what if every church in our city adopted one school? Like, how would that impact our city if every church had a school that they adopted? Now, we have adopted Rosa Parks Elementary. We've been working with them for, I think, 5 or 6 years now. And the stories coming out of Rosa Parks are amazing about the impact that the tutoring, the prayer, the teacher treats, the volunteerism. This church has made an incredible impact on young people at Rosa Parks, and I just want to applaud you for that, church. Well done. But what I found in this conversation, someone said that a lot of the schools now, they're so desperate, these kids are so desperate for any sort of relationship with anything besides a screen, that they're inviting adults to come in and be lunch buddies and just like have lunch with students. Just hang out and have lunch with a student. Now, I don't know if Rosa Parks is opening that particular opportunity or not. It was said in a broader context. But that just speaks volumes about these kids, that they have no role models. They have no one in their life, spiritual or otherwise. And it's a golden opportunity for us to invest in the next generation, to make disciples, to love our neighbor as ourself, even if it's a younger person. And this is true of students that are in our church family as well as students outside. Some do this one-on-one, which is fine, though Jesus seemed to spend most of his time with 12 and really with 3. Again, our life groups are designed to help you to grow, to do life together. We're asking all of our group leaders to have apprentices or disciples that can learn and grow and help facilitate groups so that we can experience more and more groups. In 2 weeks, some of our life groups will be following along with our sermon series on the book of Nehemiah, taking the Sunday messages that we preach here into the rest of the week. And throughout the rest of the year, we're going to go through the book of Nehemiah and the book of Ephesians, and we're equipping all of our life group leaders with these resources. Really, we'll make them available to anybody. Study questions, you can go through the text together. You could even just take the questions and take someone out to lunch and disciple them that way. We're giving you the tools, we're equipping you. Go and make disciples. All right, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And then Jesus concludes with a beautiful promise. This is one of the most comforting sentences in the whole Bible. And sometimes we get really stuck here. Go make disciples, go make disciples, go make disciples, which is super important, but don't miss this. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We are never alone. Family, Jesus is with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't make disciples on our own strength, our own knowledge, our own experience. God can use those for his glory. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit at work, moving in people's lives. We can't change another person's behavior, let alone their heart and motivation. But we can partner with God to build relationships, engage in spiritual conversations, share our story, listen to the journey of others, and invite people to give their lives to Jesus. When they do, then we can help them grow and love Jesus and share Christ. It's a process. One of the most exciting things for me right now, I shared with our missions committee this past week. Every year we do this international student dinner. It's one of my favorite things we do. I get a chance to share the meaning of Easter with students from all over the world. It's amazing. And every year I meet these students at my table. Heather and I, we sit at a table together and we talk to these students from around the world and like, I want to get to know these guys and we're going to build relationships and here's my number. And despite all of my efforts, every single year I fail to even have one meetup with a person after that dinner. I've tried. And I'm not saying it's all their fault, but I've tried. This year I got excited because we met a couple from Nepal. And the gentleman said to me, he said, we do noodle making in our house, and we like to have people over to learn how to make noodles. Would you be interested? Yes, I would be interested. So it was about 10 days ago, I met him for coffee. We just had a brilliant conversation, just fantastic. Found out he's buying a house in the area. He said, as soon as we buy this house, we're going to have you over to make some noodles. I said, can I eat them too? It's just simple little things, but they don't just happen. I had to reach out. I texted him, hey, do you want to get together? Grab some coffee. I mean, you don't need a master's degree to do this, family. This is just about being intentional and building relationships. I challenge you to think of one person. Ask God to put one person on your heart. And before I get back in August, grab coffee with them. Take them out to lunch. Is that feasible? In 3 months, can you do one meet with one person? How many of you think that's just outrageously challenging? Okay. So now you're committed. We are a Jesus-centered family restoring God's masterpieces. Ephesians 2:10 says that we are God's masterpiece, that we were created by him as a masterpiece to do great things. And then Jesus, in Mark 16, this is another version of the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. This is discipleship. This is what it's all about. And he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. The original word means martyrs in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit then came in the next chapter, Acts chapter 2. You know, some of you have been in part of churches where you send missionaries to other parts of the world. And the Christian Missionary Alliance has created opportunities for all of us to support individual workers, but we also have this thing called the Great Commission Fund. Because there's a lot of different ways that we can make disciples. And if Jesus said, just make disciples in Jerusalem, then we would focus on Toledo and the rest of the world would take care of itself. But he said, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, we have responsibilities at all four sectors. We are to make disciples of our people in Toledo, our neighbors, coworkers, friends. But we also have a responsibility to people around the world. And one thing that I love about the Alliance is we have this thing called the Great Commission Fund, where you can give money to the Great Commission Fund, and it simultaneously supports hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of international workers all over the world. Rick Romano in the Dominican Republic, the Carey family in Bayern, Germany, and people everywhere in between. So, my favorite question. So what? The Great Commission, the act of global disciple-making, is for every follower of Jesus, and that means you. We're all invited to participate. It's not just for pastors. It's not just for smart people or talented people or rich people or people that have been following Jesus for 50 years. It's for anyone that knows Jesus to share that faith with someone else, someone across the street or around the world. So I'm going to leave you with three steps, three simple things. We like to keep things simple around here. The first one is pray. It's kind of obvious. Pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for our church, our state, our nation, our world. The founder of First Alliance Church and the founder of the Christian Missionary Alliance, A.B. Simpson, was once seen by a guest in his house praying at his desk, holding a globe and weeping as he prayed for the nations. God, give us all that passion for your people around the world that we would not just flippantly pray, as I often do, Lord, bless the whole wide world. But they would pause and we would remember certain nations that we might even physically take a globe and weep over it as Simpson did. Go. That's part of the command. Go and make disciples. Go meet someone for coffee. Go invite a neighbor to dinner church tonight. Go meet people at the gym or join a sports team. Go have a backyard barbecue. Go on an international missions trip. This summer, as you know, our team, we have a team going. Pastor Mike's leading a team to the Dominican Republic. And I'm really excited about that trip. Others of you, you're going to stay behind and pray. Please pray. Your role might be just as important as the role of those going on the trip. The same can be said, the doors that are opening up for us in Germany. It's been really exciting. See, out of the whole world that God seems to be highlighting for First Alliance Church, Dominican Republic and Germany. And so we're finding ways that we can go, that we can pray, that we can go and then give. You can give of your time. Our missions committee, led by Barb Baldwin, is always looking for new members that have a passion for missions, global and local. And you can contact the office for details if you'd like to join our missions committee. You can also give financially to the Great Commission Fund. Heather and I, we give first and foremost to First Alliance Church, and then we also give every year to the Great Commission Fund because it's just such a great thing. It does such great work. We've seen the way it works in Germany and in the Dominican Republic and across the world. And to help tell you a little bit more about that, check out this video.
What moves me about the need to reach unreached people is the fact that God loves them. He is passionate for them. He is in pursuit of them.
There are people in our world who have not heard the name of Jesus. His name brings power and freedom and liberation, and we want folks to be free.
No matter where the need is and no matter where the lost are, we are called to go to those places.
Without presence, how does the gospel get to people?
They can't call on his name because they don't know him.
So it matters that we launch presence among the least reached.
I can't personally go physically.
But when I'm connected with the Alliance family, we go to those spaces together.
A missionary pastor from Cuba came into my family's region, and my great-grandmother came to know Jesus Christ.
Early Alliance workers who traveled to Southeast Asia to present the gospel to Hmong people made great sacrifices. Today, I'm here as fruit of that sacrifice, and I'm here to tell you that sacrifice is worth it.
It is worth it.
We are responsible to show the lost ones their way home.
The Alliance is going into those places. We love people with the love of God, and we are ready to tell anybody the reason for the hope that we have.
As you are giving, you are sharing in the gospel that is light and hope and joy and strength towards those who are lost.
Today, the Lord is calling you to launch presence, for us to be launched to serve the Lord.
Would you give to this year's Great Commission Day offering?
Join me this year as a part of the Alliance family in giving to the Great Commission Day offering.
God is on the move to bring his family together, and we get to be a part of that.
When the Alliance joins together in unity, churches are planted, lives are transformed, and hope shows up.
So I'm gonna ask you, why are you here? Why were you created? You were created to know God, to love God, to obey God and love others as you love yourself. You and I, we've been commissioned by Almighty God to proclaim good news to 8 billion masterpieces on earth. We can go, we can pray, we can give. And through our Alliance family, the Great Commission is being fulfilled. And as I've said, I believe the next few months are going to be really valuable for me to be getting some rest and to be refreshed, spending time with the Lord and just really listening to his voice. And I'm equally excited about what's going to happen here as you go and make disciples. Family, I challenge you to become a disciple, a learner, a follower, an apprentice of Jesus. I challenge you to go. Go and make disciples. Go have coffee with someone. Here's what I'd love for you to do is let us know about your experience. I would love for Karen, our office manager, to receive emails every day. It could be just simple. Hey, I took Fred out to lunch. Pray for Fred. I'd love to come home and just see a pile of emails in my box. Stories. And obviously you don't have to stop with one. You can develop relationships. It's all about people. It's all about relationships. Become a life group apprentice. Give to the Great Commission Fund. Serve at Sports and Arts Camp next month. You can sign up in the lobby. Most of all, be present with others, and most of all with Jesus. I look forward to hearing great stories when I get back in August, and maybe sooner, about how you've launched Presence, how you've made disciples, how you've restored masterpieces and loved well. And I was trying to think of how to close this morning, and there's a song that became really popular when COVID hit and the big lockdown. And it's really just a blessing. It's called The Blessing. And so I thought, you know, this is temporary. I mean, we're coming back. This isn't like see you later, not goodbye. But I thought what I would love to say to you, church family, is Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. And this song puts it to music. And so I'd like to invite you to sing it with me, and we can sing it to each other. And then when we're done, I have just a couple final things, and we'll close. Would you please stand?